Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Him and bear witness that there is no deity except Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household, and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Al-Hakim, Al-Khabir, the most wise, the most expert in everything, especially the thing that He has created, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Surah Tabarak, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقَ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. How couldn't He know what He Himself has made with His own hands? If we, the humans, can claim that we have full understanding of the things that we have made ourselves and we have built and we have full control over, then how couldn't we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has full control and full understanding beyond what we can imagine for the things that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has created? While we, when we own something, we can lose it, right? When we own something, it can be spoiled. Like if you own fruits and you keep them in your home, even though you own them, but they can get spoiled. And even though you own the watch can be lost. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in full control of what He subhanahu wa ta'ala owns. To the level that you might think that the word of Allah in control of Him, and He's not in control of His word or commands. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls even His commands. Unlike the humans, if you say one word, you suddenly become a slave of that word. And the word controls you, and you can't take it back. Sometimes you issue a command, and when you issue the command prevails over you. For example, if you tell somebody, go and deliver this message to that person. And then later on you find out that you don't want to do that. Then you want to change your mind, you want to change your command. But you can't reach that person. So you send people, look for him, catch him before he goes and he tells that secret to that person. They go look for him and then it's too late. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described Himself as وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala prevails over His command. And He subhanahu wa ta'ala is in control of His own commands. So His commands are not in control of Him, unlike, you know, of course, as we know ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the expert of His creation, who knows His creation very well, He gave Himself the right to legislate what is halal and what is haram, what is right and what is wrong. And another issue that people fail to understand, how come we can't decide what is halal and what is haram? Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم? And why did He say that? Why did He say that the people who set for us halal and haram are our gods? And the verse in the Quran that they have taken their priests and monks as gods instead of Allah. When Hatim, the son of, Hani, the son of Hatim al-Ta'i, heard that verse, he said he was Christian. So he went to the Prophet and he said, we haven't worshipped our priests and monks. We don't worship them. So the Prophet ﷺ asked him, who sets for you the rules of halal and haram? He said, they do. He said, فَذَلِكَ عِبَادَتُكُمْ إِيَّاهُمْ. This is the worship them. They claim to themselves the powers of Allah, that they have the right to set what is halal and haram, and then you agree with that, and you take it. So that is the way, that's why you worship them. Indeed, we are all slaves of Allah. You can see clearly the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala restricting these legislative issues to Himself. We are all slaves of Allah. And the law is always there. Name one country in the whole world that doesn't have a law, doesn't have a constitution. Name it. There is no country. It's common sense. even that doesn't have a law. Even if there's no law, then it's going to be the laws of the jungle right away. It would kick in. So there has to be a law, okay? And this law, we are slaves of this law, whether we like it or not. If you don't follow the law, you know what is going to happen to you, okay? You get all kinds of punishment, restricting your freedom, punishing you one way or another. Law enforcement agency, police is running on the freeway, enforcing the speed limit, you know? It is all, we are slaves of the law. So the people who have legislated these laws have a higher status, you know? So if part of the society, if part of the society are small gods writing laws, and the rest of the societies are slaves of these laws, then this is not the right way. This is not a civilized society. You know, the issue of achieving a civilized society is one of the objectives of the Islam, and one of the wisdoms that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have targeted when He designed the laws. So, here we go. If part of the society are small gods writing laws, and we are the ones who follow these laws, and we are slaves of these laws, then we are worshipping one another. You know, remember Rabi ibn Amr, one of the things that he said to Rustum during the battle of Al-Qadisiyah, when they were fighting against the Persian, and Rustum, the leader of the Persian army, asked for a person to talk to, so that he can ask this person questions, and this person will answer the question. So they sent him Rabi ibn Amr. His understanding, look at his understanding of the message of Islam. You know, we know the whole story that they tried to impress him and scare, you know, make him be wowed of the power and wealth. So they made a tent out of expensive silk and, gold. And then they put silk and gold carpets on the floor so that when he comes in, he gets impressed and he gets scared and he goes back and conveys the message. So the army morale goes down and all of these things. And then he didn't fall for this trick. So he insisted to go inside with his donkey, with his mule. So they said, no, you can't come in with the mule. He said, well, I'll go back. And you're not going to get anybody else to answer your questions. They said, okay. They asked Rustam, he said, let him come in. So then he had a spear. Okay, and the spear usually, if you're holding the spear, you're holding the spear so that the arrow points up. So what he did, he flipped it upside down and the arrow was pointing down. And he was a kind of a guy, had a problem. He was kind of disabled. He wouldn't walk straight. What do you call this kind of a walk?
Limp.
Huh?
Limp.
Limp, yes, he had a limp. And then he would go into the carpet that they have done to impress him, and then he walks on it, and then boom, tuck, boom, tuck, boom, tuck, boom, tuck. He ruined the carpet all the way. You can tell he's walking here, and he's dragging the mule. And they look at each other, let him, leave him, leave him. He's just a savage Bedouin Arab coming from the desert. Forget about him, you know. But he gave them the message. Here, you're impressing me? Here it is. Okay. Then he went all the way inside. Everybody bows to Rustam. He didn't bow. And then everybody sits down and Rustam is sitting high up. He went and he sat next to him. And they were laughing. he is savage. He's savage. Okay. It's okay. Leave. He's savage. Okay. And then let's ask the savage questions and see how the savage understands life. So he said to him, "Jina," he said, why did you guys come here? You have been all your life in the desert wandering around. Why did you come? Do you guys, every one of you gets a dress, a jacket, a nice jacket and dress and, you know, a couple of pieces of gold and go back to the desert? You know, would that satisfy you? He said, no, we didn't come for that. We came, جِئْنَا لِنُخْرِجَ النَّاسِ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ وَمِنْ ظُلْمِ الْأَدْيَانِ إِلَى عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ وَمِنْ ضِيقِ الدُّنْيَا إلى سعة الدنيا والآخرة. We came to free people from slavery to humans. Some humans make themselves gods over the others. They had the caste system. The emperor is created from the head of Allah, most honorable peace, the head and the face. And then the others that are lower than him are created from the shoulders. And then if you're lower than me, then you're created from here. Lower than created from here. Lower than created from here. So until they go down all the way to the toes. So the slaves and the insects and the street rats, as they call them, they are created from the foot of Allah and the toes of Allah. And then the big guys will make laws, and everybody is a slave of this law. So we came to free people from slavery to other people, to slavery to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from the dhulm al-adiyan, from the injustices of the systems of life, the built-in systems of life, deen, by the way, in Islam, does not mean the religion only. I mean, there's a difference between religion and deen. If you don't believe me, read Surah Yusuf, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on Yusuf, مَا كَانَ لِيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. He wouldn't catch his brother, he wouldn't let his brother get caught in the system of the king. Like when somebody goes to Jerusalem, he's caught in the system. So he caught in the system, في دين الملك, in the system of the king. The system the king has laid to govern the life and to control the life. This is called deen. So that's the meaning of the word deen. So when he said, من ظلم الأديان, from the injustices of the man-made laws or the manufactured laws, to عدل الإسلام, to the justice of Islam, ومن ضيق الدنيا, and from the tightness of this life that suffocates us and chokes us, to the wideness of this life and the hereafter. And as you can see, that any deen, any religion made by humans can't be fair. Why? Because every religion or every system, every deen, let's call it deen, because religion is only, in English, means whatever relationship between you and Allah. So Islam is translated to be religion and way of life. So deen is translated to be religion and way of life. So instead of saying every religion and way of life, we'll say every deen. It's designed by those humans who designed that deen to serve their best interests. So, for example, capitalism is designed to serve the people who have owned the capital. And they will own the wealth, they will own the power. I mean, they can't do anything with their money. They can change the laws. They can lobby, they can campaign, they have money to spend, and to be a president, you have to have $100 million in your bank account, start with, and then you can campaign and collect donations, and this is the muscles here are the money. The muscles are the money. Communism is designed to serve the people who are holding the government and make them gods over other people. The only way to have a fair religion or a fair deen is by Allah. For He will not design something to serve the best interest of anybody. He will design a law that is fair for everybody. So He subhanahu wa ta'ala placed these laws, and He's the only one that can place the laws in such a fair way. So Rabi'i ibn Amir said, وَمَنْ ظُلْمِ الْأَدْيَانِ, from the injustices of the religion, to عَدْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ, to the justice of Islam. And from the tightness of this life, why tightness? Because when others are making laws and making ways of life, they make them tight on the majority. They make it very, very, very wide to themselves, and they make it very, very tight on the majority of the people. You know, they want to give themselves the space so that they can stretch their elbows. And others, they don't have enough room, you know. So, and then he looked at him, and he was laughing and say, look what the savage is saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about, blah, blah. So he looked at him and he said, مَا أَسْفَهَكُمْ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْفُرْسِ يَسْتَعْبِدُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. How idiots are you, the Persian people? You are slaving one another. يَسْتَعْبِدُ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You guys are slaving one another. The strong is slaving the weak. The rich is slaving the poor. You are slaving one another. So you can see his understanding, the wisdom that he understood in Islam. and how he conveyed the message to Rabi' ibn Amir. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to achieve a civilization. And there is no civilization without Islam. And that's why he put all these laws of Islam so that we can achieve civilization. And by the way, we always confuse civilization with technology. There is a huge difference. The technology, we always do confuse two things. Civilization with technology, okay? Knowledge and science. So we always say a civilized society is a society who has technological advancements. Uncivilized society is a primitive society. Uncivilized is the society that doesn't have technological advancements. And the second confusion is that that we always fall into is that we confuse science with knowledge. And we say that this person is knowledgeable because he knows physics or he's educated. And this person is ignorant because he didn't go to school. And this is no. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines knowledgeable person as the person who knows Allah. If you know Allah, then you're knowledgeable. If you don't know Allah, then you are ignorant. Even if you have a PhD. Even if you have, name it, super duper education, 5 degrees in all of these knowledge. It doesn't matter. Know Allah. You can find the person who's selling vegetables and illiterate. He's knowledgeable because he knows Allah. He understands who is Allah, what is he expecting from him, what should we expect back from Allah, where are we going after death, what is right, what is wrong. He understands the sources of guidance, so that's a knowledgeable person. And the other one is ignorant person. And then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. Most of the people, they have no knowledge. They are ignorant. And then the next verse say, they know part of this life. ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Little piece of this life. From the apparent things on this life. From the laws of nature. From the physics. From the chemistry. They know a little bit. وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. And they turn their back to the hereafter. So they know the little small thing. And they leave the big huge main issue with, which is the hereafter, they are not knowledgeable about it. So the society, the civilization is not to be able to have a cell phone and call somebody on the other half of the globe as though he's sitting by you. It's not having super duper computers. It's not having chips and all of this technology and robots and robotics and blah blah. This is not the civilization. This is technology. Civilization is justice. Civilization is peace. Civilization is fairness and, you know, the ability to put a system in place that is fair for everybody. That is civilization. And indeed, Allah designed Islam to be, to fit in the laws of nature perfectly so that we can live in peace and achieve a peaceful life. And peace, by the way, is one of the qualities in Jannah. Didn't Allah call Jannah Dar al-Salam? لَهُمْ دَارُ السَّلَامِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. They have the house of salam, the house of peace. So to be able to achieve peace on earth, you follow these laws of Islam that fits perfectly in the laws of nature, and then you achieve peace and you achieve civilization. And there are 4 criteria that are fulfilled when we apply the Islamic laws, and we can see the wisdom of Allah clearly into these 4 criteria. When we use these 4 criteria to judge whether the society is civilized the society or not. The first criteria is the issue of halal and haram. Who writes the laws? Who makes the laws? And who is a slave of the law? The second criteria is what is the highest value in that society? Is the highest value materialism? So the decision is based on materialism, such as the example of Lake Tahoe. Or the which one in control? The moral values controlling the materialistic values and materialistic benefits, or materialistic benefits are controlling the moral values. What is the highest value of this society? This is number 2. And then number 3 is that the... a little bit. Number 3, 1 minute. Okay. Number 3, which is the issue of relationship What is the basis of this society? Relationship between males and females. What's the building unit? The family. Is it based on the family? The new generation, is it coming from a healthy family, loving father and beautiful children? Or is it coming from unlawful marriage? And the statistics say in Indiana, which is very conservative, one third of the children are coming from outside of marriage. And the 40% of the people who go on new dates, they go to bed from the new date, from the first time they date. And then the third criteria is the issue of the role of women. And inshallah, we will stop here. We'll stop here, inshallah, because we run out of time. But we will continue exploring the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the issues of legislations and halal and haram later. And we are all invited to, inshallah, to go to the coffee shop. It's my turn today. Assalamu alaikum.